Thank you, Amina. And now, James Urbanski.
Thanks. My perspective, which I would like to bring to the discussion tonight, is slightly different. In the last 11 years or so, I've worked in war zones around the world, and Médecins Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders, today continues to work in over 20 countries which are in active conflict as we speak, and in over 60 other countries where chronic crisis, neglect, political irresponsibility, and political failure around particular issues are endemic. Professor Polanyi said, or quoted, the President of the United States, George W. Bush, as saying last night that the war is a war now without battle lines. Well, I take that to mean that in practice what that implies is that the battle, therefore, is everywhere. The reality of that particular political statement, which is in fact what it is, means further consequences for many of those people around the world who are suffering in war, in famine, and in injustice. The reality for me personally, let me just tell you what I did last week. Last Tuesday, I was flying to New York City, in fact, for a meeting at UNICEF. I arrived in New York City at 8:30 a.m. and took a taxi to Manhattan. Before we crossed the river, I looked out the window and I said to the taxi driver, "There's smoke coming from the World Trade Center. There's something wrong. Please turn on the radio." And as he did so, and as we talked, we then sat in the taxi in traffic that was completely arrested and watched the World Trade Center implode. And I must say that I watched in absolute horror. And I must say that my heart went out to every single one of those people who died in that terrible, tragic event. I found my way down to an area where victims, people who had been inside the World Trade Center building and who had managed to be evacuated, I found myself basically at a triage site. And like any, in my mind, good doctor, I volunteered. And essentially the people that were coming through that triage site were the walking wounded. And the ferries had been commandeered and were taking literally thousands of people across the river to this particular triage site and to many others. And beyond the smoke and the respiratory distress, the shards of glass in people's eyes, the broken hands and the broken feet, and the fractured skulls and faces, and the burns and the cuts and the abrasions, beyond all of that, which was very real, believe me, there was the sheer terror and the sheer horror and the sheer fear at what had happened. Now, I've seen this many times in many places around the world, and I don't want to give you a long list of all of those places, but Kosovo, Sudan, Rwanda, Somalia in 92, 93, Afghanistan in 94, and so on, and so on, and so on. And as a doctor, my response to this, my response in New York was the same as my response anywhere else. There is no distinction between good victims and bad victims. Human beings must never be seen as a means to any end, but as an end in themselves. And we all suffer in the same way, and we all hunger for justice in the same way. Now, for MSF, the Humanitarian Act is extremely simple. It's number one, to seek to relieve human suffering. It's also to seek to restore autonomy so that people can make their own decisions about their own destiny. It's also to witness to the truth of injustice and also to insist on political responsibility. Now, by definition, humanitarian action is very easy to describe, but in practice is extremely difficult to achieve. It's a struggle, every single day in every single one of 400 projects around the world. It's a struggle to create that humanitarian space. Now, there's no question that the world is fundamentally a different place today after September 11th than it was on September 10th. And there's no question, and I think people would be extremely naive to believe that the consequences will be anything less than profound. However, the events of September 11 have sparked a rhetoric. We have been bombarded with the rhetoric of war. And this rhetoric is worse, in fact, than the simple rhetoric of war. It has been levied against us with highly questionable and, in my mind, completely unconsidered, or perhaps considered, consequences. Not simply for the future, but for millions of people today as we speak. The U.S. Pentagon and the White House in the early days of the in the early hours and days following the bombing talked about ending nation states that support or harbor terrorism. Said, we are at war. This is a crusade against evil. Yesterday, I believe it was, President Bush, the United States, said that in the Wild West, there used to be posters that went up and said, wanted dead or alive. We've listened to TV pundits over the last week talking about bombing Afghanistan back to the Stone Age, asking if we have the belly to do what must be done, and saying that we are at war and we have to accept collateral damage. A very nice little phrase that basically means civilians. This kind of rhetoric is extremely dangerous, with consequences not only for tomorrow, but also for today. Well, today what we're seeing in our projects all over the world, and particularly in Afghanistan, Pakistan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Iran, that the borders around Afghanistan are essentially closed. Before September 11, 3.8 million Afghanis relied on the World Food Program Emergency Food Distribution System. That program is effectively non-functioning right now. In some areas of Afghanistan, where we're continuing to work through our national staff, in some areas of Afghanistan, there are over 200,000, for example, in Herat, there are 200,000 people who do not have more than 3 days' food supply. In many other places, we're continuing with some of our programs, but we are experiencing insecurity. We're seeing we're seeing movements of displaced people throughout the country. We see in Pakistan the same kind of thing, reduced security, increased fear, tension, riots, and so on. We see it in Nigeria, in the northern part of Nigeria, in Kashmir, Bangladesh, Somalia, Sudan, and on and on and on. Now, the kind of we see all of this, and we have yet to hear that basic humanitarian principles, which are a function of international humanitarian law, or the laws of conflict, that these must be respected in all situations of conflict. We have yet to hear, for example, that due public consideration of the humanitarian needs of civilians in some of the countries that I've described will be considered, and in fact are being considered. The early vilification of the so-called other has been extremely dangerous, and the kind of consequences that I've just talked about are real and present today. As a doctor and as a human being and as a citizen, I know I have a duty to insist that all people matter equally and none more than others, and that this maxim is as true in war as in peace. And as finally, as a citizen, I have a responsibility to insist that my government advocate and clearly follow the rules of conflict, which mean respect the basic principles and practices of international humanitarian law. MSF today sent a letter to the Prime Minister of Canada urging him strongly to take a clear and firm public position on this issue. And I would urge you to do the same. Thank you.